Welcome to the Cheyenne Vineyard Podcast, bringing you a message of hope for your everyday world. If you'd like to contact us at info@CheyenneVineyard.com. You can also find out more information about the Cheyenne Vineyard Church at CheyenneVineyard.com. Thank you and enjoy today's podcast.
Sometimes we can, those of us who pursue the supernatural work of the Lord, we realize that not everyone that we pray for gets healed, but the more people we pray for, the more people get healed. And we have to endure the times when it doesn't happen and continue to pursue for the times that it will happen. And not lose heart, not lose faith, and trust in the fact that God truly loves us, that He truly wants us to be whole, that He wants us to be free, He wants us to be healthy, and He desires for us to prosper in every area of life, because the Lord wants His people to be the gates of heaven. And the more healed, the more whole we are, the more effective we are going to be as the gates of heaven. So we're going to release the kids now. I just remembered that we need to do that because they are celebrating Three Kings Day today. And I know they're going to have a great time. So you guys have fun. I know a lot of you adults don't even know what Three Kings Day is. Well, it's a special day celebrated on this day, really in virtually all of the Spanish-speaking world, where they celebrate the time that the wise men came to see Jesus. Because according to the narrative that we have in the Bible, it really doesn't appear that the wise men came the night that Jesus was born, which it was the night that the shepherds came. They very likely came sometime, probably not very long, after Jesus' birth. So that's when the Spanish-speaking people choose to celebrate what happened there. Now back to the gates of heaven idea. I know Barry is working on getting the messages back on iTunes, and you know we went to a new website, and we've had some problems getting just everything working the way we want it to with getting the messages online on our website and on iTunes. But if you were not here last week, you really want to hear the message from last week. I presented Jesus as the prototype of the new wineskin of the New Testament temple of God and as the gate of heaven. Going all the way back to Jacob's encounter at Bethel when he had the dream and first spoke those words, when he had the dream of the angels ascending and descending, and he said, this is the gate of heaven, this place. And Jesus used the exact same terminology when he was speaking to Nathanael, calling his disciples in the New Testament. And he told Nathanael, you're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And that's Jesus. We know that he was the prototype for the New Testament temple of God. He called himself the gate, one of the I Am statements in the book of John. But we also are the New Testament temple of God. We know that from Paul's precise terminology. He says specifically in Corinthians that you and I are the temple of God. And as the New Testament temple of God, the people of God, we are to be also the gates of heaven. We are how the power and the blessing of heaven is released on the earth. And so I presented that in some detail last week, so I don't want to give the whole message again. But what I think I want to talk about today is sort of getting there. I mean, I realize that for some of us, the whole idea, the whole concept of human being, you know, Joe Ordinary, that we all are, being a gate of heaven. How that's, does it compute? And I know for many, it really doesn't compute. But I tell you, we are living in days. You know, Happy New Year, Blessed New Year to everyone. This is our first meeting in 2013. This is not only a new year, this is a new day. This is a day where we need to not be limited by what we know God has done in the past. Because we are now in a time when God is doing more. And we've got to change our thinking, which is exactly what Jesus most often said when he would go to preach the good news in a new city. He would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the best translation for that Greek word is, you need to think differently because the kingdom of heaven is right here. And if there ever has been a day that I could stand up here and speak those words to you with conviction of the Holy Spirit that this is the word for the day, this is the day. So instead of saying repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, I want to say get ready to think differently because the kingdom of heaven is breaking loose in ways that we've not seen and ways that we probably aren't even ready to expect yet. And Lord, just help me today. Because I've got like two or three messages here, and it's probably going to be some combination of the three that ends up coming out. Because always on the first Sunday of the year, I feel like there are people who want to make a new start. And this is the time that we look back and we evaluate, okay, what's happened in the last year? And this is the day, this is the time to think about, okay, where I'm at spiritually right now. I have some understanding of that. But where do I want to be the first Sunday of 2014? And that's what I want you to think about just for a couple seconds. You know, where you are right now, don't be discouraged. Don't be proud. Don't be disappointed. because God's at work. But think about, and Lord, I ask you to release vision right now to your people of where you would have them be in January of 2014. And then we need to think about, okay, for me to get from here to there, what needs to change? Because you've all heard one of the definitions of insanity, and that is to keep doing the same thing and keep expecting a different result. So I'm not saying, and this would be another way of saying it, but I'm choosing not to say it this way. What must I do to get where God wants me to be in a year? Because it's much less about us doing and much more about Him doing in us. But there are things that we can do in our lives that facilitate His work in us, as opposed to us trying to achieve something, or as opposed to us trying to get ourselves from one place to another, because that's not our work, getting us from where we are to where He wants us to be in a year. That's His work. Because He who began the good work in you will continue to do that work until it's complete. But, as I said, what needs to change in your life, my life, in order to facilitate God doing His work to get us from here to there? You get what I'm saying? Because the Christian life, the life in the Spirit that we are talking about and pursuing, is not about us getting somewhere ourselves. It's not about us achieving something ourselves. It's not about us being better or doing better. It's about God doing this work in us, and it's about God getting us where He wants us. Okay? So in a sense, the little message that I just gave you is all about the bigger picture message that I have for you today, which is about being gates of heaven, and how do we get there? Well, it's being a gate of heaven is all about intimacy with God. It's all about closeness with the Creator God of the universe. It is about finding out what is on His heart, agreeing with it, and stepping into it. And if you want to be effective at being a gate of heaven, that's what it's all about. Because Jesus, as I said, he's the prototype. And what did He do? He only did what the Father was doing. What did He speak? He only spoke what the Father was saying. And that brings us to the third question. How did He know what the Father was doing and what the Father was saying? It's because he was close to the Father. It's because he pursued the Father. He spent time with the Father. And, you know, our understanding of God is limited. Our understanding of God is colored by our experiences and lack of experiences. And we have a hard time grasping that the God who's the creator of the universe is a person with emotions. And he's a person with not only emotions, but he's a person with affections. And one of the things about being a gate of heaven is learning how to, yes, come Lord. It's learning how to sit before him and just, yes, Lord, come. And receive his affection. Just open your heart right now, because his affection for you is right. It's dripping all over you right this very moment. And the God of the universe, this God who has emotions and affections, is turning his affection toward you right now. And just, will you just say yes, and will you just receive that right now? He's not thinking about what you've done and what you haven't done right now. He's just saying, I love you. I want you. I want you to be mine. Thank you, Lord. See, it's his love that heals, that breaks chains. It's his love that enables just simple people like you and me to be the gates of heaven. Because the only way we can be gates is gates of his love. It is to know it, to experience it, to have it in our being. And this experience that most of you are having right now, probably all of you, this is something. I mean, I can't conjure this stuff up. This is the Lord. And this is the Lord's invitation to you to come into this love daily. Is there are so many disciplines that that we can pursue, but this is the end that we pursue with everything that we can do to seek God. This is the end. It's being in His presence and just enjoying being in His presence. And what we've got to learn how to do is how to take time out of our busy schedule every day and get to this place. Because this place, the place of the presence of God, is where revelation comes. And in the days that we're in right now, we need revelation. We need to know what to do. And it's the Lord who knows what we need to do. And I've told many of you this over the last couple of years, but it is more true today than ever. The most important thing for us to do to be prepared for the times that we're in is to be able to hear the voice of God. Because he is releasing ideas, He is releasing creativity, He is releasing ideas for good works, He's releasing direction, and it's in this place of His presence that all that is released. And the Lord just wants to get us to the place where more than any other part of our day, this place is what we want. That is worship in spirit and truth. And it's in this place of His presence that healing comes. That hearts are changed and aligned with His. Because, I mean, as much as we might want to change some things that are in our hearts, we're not capable. Human hearts are changed by the one who created them. Now we can do things to kind of get our hearts going in the right direction, but the work of changing hearts and aligning hearts, that's God's work. And we're in days where the Lord is aligning people, and He's positioning people for His kingdom. Because if you haven't noticed, the enemy's been pretty busy in his kingdom over the last number of years, trying to position people and trying to get things in place for what he wants to do. But God is like this, and I think I said something about this last week, this expert three-dimensional chess player who's just letting the enemy kind of do what he wants to do, and then right at the most opportune, or for the enemy, inopportune moment, the Lord is going to move one piece and he's going to say, that's checkmate. You know, all that stuff you've been trying to do and all your contingency plans and it's time for my kingdom to come. And this is what we're experiencing. Now, you could, and this is one of the things of wisdom of the Lord in not throwing his pearls before swine is the subtlety of what he does. Now he could come in here with a wind and a sound, and I believe that he may well do that one of these days. But he's coming with a sweet presence, so that those who would choose to ignore it can. But those who would receive it are having things done on the inside. And I got to tell you, this is all not according to what I had planned for today. And that's perfectly fine with me. Because as we have said so many times over the last few years, I would much rather have the Lord have the freedom to do whatever he wants to do and chuck my plan, our plan, and have him do what he wants to do. So at this point, I'm not exactly sure where to go from here. But I'm just going to wait for a minute. Father, as a people, as the authority over these people, God, I ask right now that you would release spiritual hunger and thirst for the reality of you. I ask that you would release seeking hearts right now. I ask that you would align our hearts with you And as I'm praying, if you agree, you just tell the Lord, yes, I want that. give me that. And Lord, I thank you for the pile of chains that are up here that you have taken off of people. Father, I ask that you would give us hearts to love you. That we would be a people who are known for our love for you. And I ask, Father, that you would give us hearts to love everybody. Not just the easy to love, but the hard to love. God, let us be the gates of heaven for the hard to love and for the easy to love, because you love them all. But they all need you. Father, help us to overcome our souls, that we would be led by your Spirit in our spirit. Some of you need to hear these words, that the kingdom of heaven advances not with the absence of negatives, but with the presence of positives. And it's those very positives that we've been asking for right now. God, I ask that you would renew our minds so that we begin to think and live like missionaries and not like members of a club. Our calling is no different from those who are called to Africa or China. It's just our location is different. Lord, change our thinking about ourselves so that we're not focused on fixing something, we're focused on becoming something. I knew for a long time that the Lord rewards the hungry and the thirsty and the seeking, but I asked him for a verse or a passage that really would confirm that. And in Psalm 107, 8 and 9, it says, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things." Thank you, Lord. There's a verse that's the word of the Lord for us today. Most of us know Jeremiah 29:11 about the plans of the Lord that are good. But the word of the Lord that he's given us for you know, I'm just so glad that I don't care how I look up here anymore. I mean, I'm just enjoying this. But the word of the Lord for us for 2013 is Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The Lord has plans for this city. You guys are lucky you're sitting down, because it's getting kind of hard for me to stand up. That's better. Tasha, I don't know what we're doing. See, the Lord, as I said earlier, he's been positioning people. He's been at this for some time now, but it's accelerating. And, you know, one of the things that he spoke to me this last week is many of us, we would like to experience as the gates of heaven, we would like to experience the provision of heaven. And there's a couple ways to do that. They may not they're not that different, but one is to have nothing and to seek the Lord for provision, and the other one is if we want to experience provision of heaven, then we've got to give God everything that we have. So we don't own anything anymore. And that's a matter of the heart. It may not look a whole lot different, because you still have management responsibility over everything that he's given you. But in your heart, you're not attached to it anymore, because it's his. And so when he says to do something with it, then you just do that. And if we're going to be the gates of heaven, then we got to learn to live like that. And there's a process of getting there. I mean, that's not something that happens. Well, I guess it can, because when God does this, I just want to tell you that he's doing way more right now, this morning. It's going to take us months to figure out everything that he's done in the last 20 minutes. Because when we just sit in his presence like this, he just keeps working. And he's not moving. And I love that. Although it makes my job a little harder up here. But there's a way to get to the place that he's talking about. And like the first step in getting there is, you know, a lot of people, they would like to be wealthy for the sake of the kingdom. But if they're not following God's principles with what they've already got, his other principle is he's not going to give them more. So we've got to be faithful with little before we're given more. And you guys know how I hate to talk about giving, and you guys are a very generous church and a giving church, but if we want to get to the place where money and possessions have less of a tie on us, then we got to at least start tithing. Because that's like the first step of trusting God for provision. So I just felt like I needed to say that today. He was already pouring out his affection then. So I feel like there's one more thing that the Lord's doing today that I need to try to put words to. And there are a lot of people here today who've stopped dreaming. There are things that the Lord's put in your hearts that you've just pushed so far back, and they're under so much stuff that you really don't even know where they are anymore. And the Lord wants to reawaken. He wants to breathe life into those dreams this morning. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I breathe life, the life of heaven, into those dreams that so many of you have even forgotten about. And I call forth the ability to dream, and I awaken imagination in this body, in the name of Jesus, because the Lord is going to release some creativity. One of the things that the Lord is doing in his body right now is there are many ministries where the Lord is beginning to release ideas for businesses and revenue streams, so that ministries of God are not a financial drain anymore. They actually make a profit. And the Lord's doing this all over the country right now. It's blowing my mind, some of the stories that I'm hearing. And the Lord wants to do that here. See, that's part of the word of the Lord for our body for this year is to seek the prosperity of the city. And as the city prospers, we also will prosper. The Lord is really wanting to be at work in the marketplace this year. He's wanting to release creative ideas for new businesses where the kingdom can come. I heard this one testimony this week. I think it was from Michigan, but I can't remember for sure. But a lady got this idea for a spa, and it was going to be a Christian spa. The people who worked in this place, when they gave massages, they were praying for the people as they gave massage. And just they would, as they were speaking, they would seek the Lord for words of prophecy for the people who came in. And they even offered a service of dream interpretation and spiritual readings from the Lord, not from some New Age business. Why should we let them get the business? Because their source is tainted. Why should not the kingdom of God be speaking forth words of life and prophetic words from heaven into people's lives and giving understanding from heaven about dreams that people are having? And this place is going nuts. You can't get an appointment there for like a month because they're and this is the kind of thing that God is doing. So the things that God's put on people's hearts, we need to start sharing those things. We need to get in the presence of the Lord individually and let Him bring those dreams forth again. And you can ask the Lord, Lord, what do you say about this? And let's see what He does. Because Tasha's story, if you knew all the details, it would blow you away. And that's just one. I mean, my story of how we launched this church, that'd pretty much blow you away. The story of this place that we meet in, it blows everybody away who hears that story. So we don't have the right in this body to not think supernaturally. That means we are required to think supernaturally about what God can do. I could get used to this. Let's pray, and then we are going to have a carry-in meal today. I'm going to pray and bless the food also. And if you didn't bring anything, feel free to stay and just to enjoy a meal and some time together. We've all got some processing to do. Might help to process it together. I've felt this momentum in the spirit for about the last month or so, and I feel like it's increasing, and I feel like God's been positioning people here in this body, and that as he gets all those pieces in place, that this momentum is just going to continue. And I'm just excited to see what God is going to do, because the reason that this church exists is because of a prophetic picture that the Lord spoke publicly into my life back about 14 years ago. And it was a vision, a supernatural vision of supernatural harvest taking place in this city. And the vision was way bigger than I could wrap my imagination even around. But the Lord's given a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more over the years, as he does with prophetic encouragement. And I believe that we are right on the cusp of seeing this begin to happen. And what God is going to do in Cheyenne is going to transform the culture of the city. It's going to be that big. And it's bigger than one body. It's the body of Christ, and it's what is going to happen to people when the sound of heaven hits this city. So, Father, I just want to thank you for the gift of your remaining presence with us today. We bless your name. We're in awe of who you are, and we're in awe of your affection for us. And just continue to receive that affection for you as if it were only for you today. But know that it's for every person that's in this place today. God poured out his supernatural affection on every person here. And God, we receive your affection for us, because you created us with purpose. And Lord, I thank you for what you've been doing. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're about to do. And I just ask you to prepare us. And I just have a sense that that's what he's been doing today. As much of this is his work of preparation. So Lord, I release the blessing of your presence to go with every one of us today. And I thank you that you're awakening dreams, you're awakening imagination, you're going to release creativity. You're going to raise up ministries, you're going to raise up businesses in the marketplace. We are going to be the gates of heaven for this city. We say yes. And now, Lord, I ask you to bless the food. I ask you to bless our fellowship together. Lord, I thank you for the work you've done in our hearts, for the healing, for the freedom that you've brought. In Jesus' name, amen. See, I've been at times somewhat impatient for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we are expecting and anticipating and believing in. And it's been like 2 years ago that the Lord taught me this painful lesson about how he had to, over time, increase our ability to stand, to remain in his presence. And I mean, today I see that work that he has been doing this. And the way that he taught me the lesson was rather painful, but yet merciful, because that's what God is like. I was training to run a marathon with my daughter a little over 2 years ago, and I ramped up way too quick. And fortunately, at the same time, she was lagging behind in her training. So while I got shin splints, the worst case I've ever had in my life, and also got tendonitis because of my own lack of wisdom, she decided there's no way she could do the marathon. She was going to do the half marathon. So here I am, 2 weeks before, with the most painful case of shin splints I've ever had in my life. I mean, I can't even run a half a mile, and I'm in tears. And the Lord tells me, you know, you want me to pour out my spirit now. You can't handle it. I got to give you a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more over time. And then, when I pour it out full force, it's not going to kill you, and you'll be able to receive it all. That's the wisdom of the Lord. See, if I had trained that way for the marathon, I could have done the whole thing. But instead, here I am 2 weeks before the marathon, I can't even hardly walk. And I get to Kansas City the day of the event, and I tell my daughter my plight. And I say, well, I'm going to try. And if any of you have had shin splints, you know the likelihood of that. I mean, if you try, the only thing that's going to happen is it's going to get worse. So the gun went off, and we started running, and it wasn't as bad. And you know, after about 3 miles, I thought, you know, it really doesn't hurt bad at all. After about 8 miles, I had no pain. And after we finished the whole half marathon, I had no pain. I had no pain the entire day. And the next day, the only pain I had was the soreness from having run 13 miles. God healed me in the midst of of that event that I had no hope of even doing. And that was his mercy, but he taught me the lesson. So I don't know, that was for somebody who needed to hear about God's mercy. We will have the carry-in dinner now. We if I could get the prayer team to come up here, and you know, if I needed healing and I hadn't been healed yet, I would want to be prayed for today. So if you need prayer for anything, I would encourage you to come up. And man, let's see what God does in 2013.